Hi, I'm Scott.
I'm Whitney.
And this is episode 97 of Frankly, My Dear. We've been gone for a while, and now we're back. And that's all I really want to say about
it. Yeah, good, because I was thinking you were going to make me talk about it. I'm like, I don't want to come up with excuses, and I also don't want to say that we'll continue to do this regularly.
You are getting episode 97.
No excuses, no promises.
Yeah, deal with it. What are we doing this week?
We're reviewing Wreck-It Ralph, and we are listing our top five movies from 2012 that we will never see.
I'm feeling a little guilty that we're not apologizing for being more regular.
No, don't. Don't apologize. It's our business.
It is our business.
It's not our business.
But they're devoted fans.
I don't know.
Don't you think we should spend the next 10 to 15 minutes talking about how sorry we were?
It's just boring.
All right. Well, we're moving on to what comes next.
Listener feedback.
Who's our first writer-inner?
Why did you do that?
Didn't you remember how I ended the intro?
No. Our first writer-inner is Thomas. Uncle Thomas says, "Hey FMD, writing this while I'm still on my high from Wreck-It Ralph. Really a great movie that was almost ruined by the annoying girl two rows in front of my family. She laughed at everything. She even laughed at a serious part in the movie, and her laugh was the long, loud, bellow type of laugh, the kind that seems more manufactured than genuine, and she talked to the film as well. As Ruben so perfectly said, give me a break, it was a movie, not a laugh attack. That being said, have either of you had an experience like this, and what was the movie? Love the podcast, love you too, more. Thomas."
Where somebody ruins a movie for you?
Oh man, like every single one I go to?
Yeah.
I hate going to movies and theaters sometimes. I still, like, love it, and I still do it, but, like, every time I feel like someone ruins it in some way.
We're very aware of the audience around us.
Yeah.
One time, okay, so Whitney and I, we always sit in the same places, and then we, like, at the front row, where you can put your feet on the bars. Why not? Yeah. We like that. Yeah. Then one time, in a theater that was almost completely empty, this lady and her adult son sit right next to us. Like, no gap. Right next to us. And so I lean over across Whitney and say, "Hey, would you mind scooting down one?" And she's like, "No! I like to put my feet on the bar!" And then I said something, like, really rude, and I don't remember what it was, and
so
we
like, congratulations, I'm
said,
sure.
"Oh, wonderful, I hope you have a wonderful time on this bar."
And then we had to move.
And then we
you
moved.
You were, like, so mad.
It
you
was
were,
weird.
Like, fuming.
I was, like, really
I know.
Pissed.
I hate when people come and sit next to you. Like,
that is the third time it's happened to me.
It's happened to me a lot, yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's common courtesy not to do it, and people do not care. Like,
I just think
jerks.
I think it's bizarre when someone sits right next to you with
it's
no...
It's really weird when they don't say anything, either.
And then when they, like, grope you during Sweet Home Alabama, which was one of the three times.
Yeah, you've told that story
that,
before.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Oh, have I told that story before?
At least to me, a few times.
Ugh.
Ugh.
We're not talking
This
anymore.
Is why we're not doing the podcast anymore.
I fucking hate
but,
you.
Yeah, what... I mean, my least favorite thing is when people read the words on screen out loud. I don't know who they think next to them can't read. I mean, maybe there's a blind person, maybe it's a child or an old person, I'm not really sure, but like sometimes I just think that they are just proving to themselves that they can read out loud.
When we saw Wreck-It Ralph, there was a dad who read something at the beginning of
the
movie.
Oh yeah, but that was cute, because you're like, it's for his kid.
Yeah, but and that was the only time he did it. I thought it was going to be throughout the whole thing. I thought he was going to be explaining who Pac-Man is.
Yeah,
and explain,
yeah.
And sometimes they're just, like, really terrible. One time I had this, like, really old lady sit right next to me and ask me if I could open her candy. And she didn't share any of it. So I, like, opened it. And then, like, the whole movie...
She has, like, arthritis or something.
Yeah, her, like, bony death hands were, like, trying to, like, pick at some Sour Patch Kids.
That sounds really good.
Who's the next email?
All right, it's from Rebecca. She says, "Frankly's, today is Saturday, October 27th, 2012, and I have plans to go see..."
Did you say October 27th?
Yeah.
It is actually November 26th.
So it's been at least a month since our last one.
Right.
and I have plans to go see Cloud Atlas. I have purposely avoided reading, listening to, or watching anything about this movie. I saw the trailer and thought, I will watch that movie. I have every expectation that it will either be like The Abyss, the coolest movie with the worst letdown ending ever, or like The Fountain, the movie where at the end the audience sat in stunned silence until one guy said quite audibly, huh? And everyone in our theater started laughing. Either way, I will let you know what I think. On the other end of the spectrum, Netflix has informed me that Monday I will receive The Deer Hunter. I have never seen it. I am sure it will be no Cloud Atlas. Do you ever watch movies that are extreme opposites of each other in one sitting? And if so, what was the last ones that you watched? I don't know. I'm really curious on what she thought about The Deer Hunter. I love that movie. Racist depictions of Vietnamese people aside. Mm-hmm. If we can throw those aside, I really love that movie.
Do you remember when you agreed to go see the new Tyler Perry movie if I went to go with you to see 30 Days of Night?
Yeah, and we saw them back to back. That was our best contradiction.
Yeah, that's the best one I can think of.
You made me see the worst movie.
Yeah, I don't even remember which one it was.
Why Did I Get Married?
Oh yeah, that was not Mr. Perry's best work.
I don't know which one's Mr. Perry's best work.
That would Rebecca be Daddy's Little Girls.
Oh, okay. Rebecca has a second email about what she thought about Cloud Atlas. She said, if you thought there could never be a movie that could outdo Crash in preachiness and stereotypes, you were wrong. Using the mashup format from Glee, Cloud Atlas is about how completely awful, Soylent Green awful, it is and has always been for everyone but the powerful, rich, ruthless, and of course, Big Oil. Oh, and don't forget how God is a myth. The previews seem to promise that past actions affect the future, but the intermingled vignettes have nothing to do with each other. After being hit over the head constantly for more than an hour, I was reduced to audible groans and laughter as they murdered all the helpless victims. Bottom line, this movie wants to get across. Every boundary in society is merely a contrivance waiting to be torn down. I say BS. My vote is stay home, save the money, and have pizza with friends and family.
I loved Crash and also believe God is a myth. So maybe Cloud Atlas, maybe I need to switch my top five up a little bit.
And I'm a Marxist who believes in transgressing on purpose, so I think this is going to be our favorite movie ever.
In all honesty, I don't want to see this movie at all.
I do.
Yeah.
I do want to see it.
Tell us a little bit about the book.
I don't know anything about the book. All I know is that English majors and, like, English people really love it. That's all I know. And
do you know who
like
wrote it?
Connected. No.
And Rand?
No. No, something it's current. Ryan? No.
I don't know.
I know who you're trying to say, and no.
No, not her. Or him.
Here, I'll find it. David Mitchell. No, it's a current book. You don't know who David Mitchell is. Come on.
Way to call me out on it.
All right.
Who's the next email?
Next one is from Daniel. You want me to read it?
I'll read it. Daniel from
Test Patterns. It's really long.
Are you
sure you want to read it? Just kidding. I'm just being a jerk. Come on.
Daniel from Test Patterns, Test Patterns Podcast, writes, always happy to have a new FMD episode to start the weekend. Sorry, the last 4 weekends have been so sad.
You think it's so funny that we haven't done one? That's like your favorite joke.
Because we did it almost every week. At least, like, almost one a week for, like, the past, like, year and a half.
Yeah, that's true.
This is, like, the first extended break we've ever taken.
That's true.
Hope more on the way despite the busy schedule of poorly written college paper grading and rap battle album recording rhyming MCing for both of you.
That's us.
I loved your Looper review. I agree on almost all points. The film creatively and carefully sidesteps the logistics of time travel and sacrifices it for a more fascinating storyline of the predicament that Bruce Willis and Joe go are in. And the director carefully twists the characters to go from the sympathetic to the horrible to the sympathetic again. Agree that the mob boss storyline was kind of a joke, especially when, at the end, he shows up and tries to stop Jogo for one last time, quickly gets killed.
Yeah, there's no point to him.
None. Although it did result in a pretty creative way of stopping him via Jogo shooting the ground in front of him as he was opposed to trying to stop the hit the man. Wow.
It's okay.
My bad.
We get it.
My bad. And he said, not sure if you've heard about this, but apparently the director recorded an audio commentary to go with the movie that will be different than the one that will end up on the DVD release of the movie. You can download or read about it here. And he sent us the movie. Or he sent us the link.
Did we not talk about that when we recorded it? Maybe it came out after.
I can't remember. But I did listen to, like, the first half hour of it. Not while watching the movie, but I downloaded and just listened to it at work.
How was it?
Awesome. This is something directors need to do.
It's a great idea.
So good, because you don't want to go in and see it for the first time in theaters with the commentary. But you do want to go in and see it a second time with commentary.
If you loved it, like people loved Looper.
Right. Yeah. And so it's just really cool, the thought of doing something different. And he even talks about it. He says, you know, this is sort of just a way to get your money again. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm fine with paying that money if it's worth it. And in this case, it definitely was. And I had forgotten about it. It's still on my computer. And I think that I need to throw it on my iPod and go catch this at the Dollar Theater.
Oh, yeah, because it's at the Dollar Theater now. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
We could just go with our headphones.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, Allison from Nerd Vampire, right?
Right.
She writes, "Hey, Franklies, I laughed when Whitney said that the Master was causing aneurysms in the theater. I had the same experience when I saw it, except I fell asleep sometime in the third act and felt too annoyed by the rest of the movie. It just creates anxiety, which is probably evidence that it's a great movie in some respects, since it's creating a specific sort of anxiety that a lot of movies don't focus on." Oh, that's a good point. "It didn't make driving through sheets and sheets of rain on the ride home any easier. I really enjoyed Looper. I didn't appreciate the 'your eyes look backward' line until I heard the soundbite from this episode, but it's really clever. I also loved the ending, although there's this slight time travel problem involved that I don't necessarily consider a problem, but a friend of mine pointed out." Oh my gosh, Allison, we have so many friends that will point this time travel problem out to us. Oh my gosh, it's so frustrating to listen to. That's why I loved in that movie where it kept on saying, like, don't worry about the time travel, like, just enjoy this movie for what it is. Don't worry about it. And of course, like, our friends that are obsessed with time travel, that's the very first thing they worry about and the thing they obsess about. But anyway.
And, like, nearly impossible for them to, like, push aside.
Yeah, it is. It's completely impossible. Except it was long enough to go that I don't remember the details. I think she's saying it was long enough ago that I don't remember the details, but I think what we ended up discussing was if it was so bad for the kid to turn out to be a crime boss who decides to close the loops. I'm sorry, I don't understand that sentence. If you look at the organization that Jogo's character belongs to and some other loopers and their lifestyles, would it really be more noble to keep that crime organization around? It's possible that in the Bruce Willis timeline and the Jogo sacrifice timeline leads to the same result. Just the psychology behind the motivation stays the same. Oh, interesting. You probably didn't need to read the whole paragraph of the time travel bullshit, but it was something that I found interesting at the end of the movie. And I guess you guys another you choose. How about Jim Jarmusch's Mystery Train?
Oh, I like that movie a lot.
I love that movie. I'd love to watch that again.
I think we own it, so that'll be nice.
Cool. Yeah, I own that.
I wish we could put up a list of all the DVDs we own. It'd be so much faster to do you choose if it were like
pick from
choose
these.
From this 2,000 DVDs that we own.
We don't want to watch anything new, ever.
Ever. Jess Rogers from real-insight.com and the Real Insight Podcast says, "Hey, FMD, I totally agree with Whitney on the giant caterpillars on Joe Go's forehead."
They were so bad.
It's been a while. I forgot about that. "I think they needed to make that more consistent with Bruce and Joe Go with the prosthetics. It would have been less distracting without them."
Yeah.
"Since Jogo has a huge grin, I like that they muted that with the mouth prosthetic, but the rest felt unnecessary. I totally agree that they did a great job setting up the time travel internally, rather than trying to reference to other movies or actual science. I really like the film. Probably enjoyed Emily Blunt more than Scott did, but I think that they left out a bit of an opportunity to play around with the TK people." You know what I just thought?
What?
You know how you solve that Bruce Willis is the old Jogo, and they don't look that much alike, so we better put all this makeup on him? You just have your opening credits show pictures of young people and then their old person counterpart where they look totally different. You just be like, this happens all the time. People don't look like what they look like when they were like Jogo's age.
It's totally random. Like, it has nothing to do with the story.
No, you just make it sci-fi-y. For some reason, it's just like some...
Maybe they could do the characters in the movie, like show Jogo as a little kid and Jogo now, and be like, see, they don't look the same, or like,
except
whatever.
He looks exactly the same as he did when he was a kid.
I know. Oh,
just
that's
cut off
true.
That cut
I
off
forgot
that
we
hair.
Know what he looks like when he was a kid. Alright, this next one's from Nick. He says, hey.
From French Toast Sunday.
Okay.
He's our You Choose winner this week. So Nick, let us know what...
Are you still doing that?
I think so.
And he says, hey gang, haven't seen, well, more like heard a podcast from you in quite some time. I'm sure the reason is you are both just really busy. That's pretty much it. Just wanted to send you an email saying hello and that your fans miss you. Hope all is well and I look forward to hearing your thoughts on Lincoln and Life of Pi.
Stick around for our top five lists.
I forgot Life of Pi came out this year.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, it's not on my top five list, but probably should have been.
It's a runner-up.
Okay.
All right, and we're going to hop right into movie news. Stick around.
News on the mark.
So Chevy Chase isn't going to be on Community after this next season.
I really have no problem with that.
I really have no problem with that either.
I like Community okay. Like, I'm not Community's biggest fans by, like,
by
any
means.
Yeah. But I like it okay, and Chevy Chase is my least favorite part of that show. The Dean is my favorite.
You wish the Dean could get his own spinoff.
Yes.
I just feel that, and we've talked about this before, too, on the podcast, but it's just... Chevy Chase, he's a jerk, and he makes it really hard. I love to picture the cast of Community, like, loving each other and having the most fun time.
Like having pizza parties.
Yeah, and, like, being, like, really fun
but
friends.
But then he sort of spoils that illusion.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, like, Donald Glover and Joe McHale and everybody on the show are going to be that sad to do a season of this show, especially a show that might get canceled anyway, to do a show without that jerk around. So at least if your show gets canceled, you can have like one season with a lot less drama.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I'm not too sad. I am a little sad about Elmo.
Oh, yeah.
Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You don't want to belittle, like, anyone's experience, but you're also, like,
he invented
Elmo.
All
my memories are tainted now.
Sort of, like, weighing the good he did versus the evil he did.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Michael Jackson made Thriller, you know?
Yeah, or Roman Polanski made all of his movies.
Really, none of those things excuse molesting children.
I know,
Elmo
that's the
included.
Thing.
That's the hard part. So, if you don't know the story, the guy who... And this is so unfortunate. I would have never known who this guy was. If I had seen him on the street, never would have recognized him. Never even thought there was a human behind Elmo. This guy did everything Elmo for decades. He created the character, created the voice, created the name, and brought him into fame. And one of the most famous Sesame Street Muppets of all time. And he just had a movie come out about him. And I can't remember what it's called. It's like Becoming Elmo or Being Elmo.
Being Elmo, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's
so
one
now
of our
he's
pick. Someone
it
did
is.
It. I think Jess picked it.
And the movie is very good. I'm glad we get to rewatch it now.
Oh, really?
Because it'll be very different. But I had just seen it for the first time probably 2 months ago and thought, oh, this guy is amazing.
He is a delight.
And then the other shoe fell and there was a molested child in that shoe.
But didn't that guy drop the charges?
So the first like, one...
Oh, but then there were subsequent ones
yes.
that didn't?
So I keep saying children... 16-year-old boys.
Yeah.
First one came forward, children, said they were, yeah, they were dating after the kid was 18, but he says they started dating before, starting as early as 16. He's since recanted his story, so things look like, oh, well, it was just maybe like a jealous ex trying to get back at him or something.
Right.
So now more, another story has come forward saying, no, we did stuff when I was underage as well. And
oh,
so he has been let go
why?
From Sesame Street.
Why, Elmo, why?
I know, don't tickle me, Elmo.
No more Elmo.
Don't tickle me, Elmo.
You shouldn't make child molestation and Elmo jokes.
Why? They go... They go
no,
better
so
together now than ever before.
It's just too sad.
finally my Elmo child molestation jokes are like really just in the prime. If I can't make them now, why have I been making them for all these years? Anything else you want to say?
No, I think that are we done with movie news?
Yeah, that's okay. All I had.
That's great. All right.
Next You're up, a monster. Next up, we're going to review Wreck-It Ralph. Stick around.
You're just laughing at yourself. I love that you didn't press stop.
No, my finger was on the button.
They are going to want to hear me giggle.
Let it ride.
Yeah. Spontaneous.
Stick around.
If I'm really honest with myself, sure must be nice being the good guy.
Ralph, you are a bad guy. But this does not mean you're a bad guy.
I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. Ralph abandoned his game.
Welcome to Game Central Station.
Bad guy coming.
Whitney and I went to go see one of the movies that I've been looking forward to the most this entire year. And this shows how busy we are. I have wanted to see Wreck-It Ralph since the first teaser trailer. Since the first time I heard that Disney was making...
You put it on, like, Facebook.
Yeah, like, I was very excited. And we've just been so busy and not going to movies. And so when we finally did get to a movie, I begged her to not see Argo, but to see Wreck-It Ralph. Right. And I'm so happy we did, because it turned out to be really, really good.
It was great.
It was great.
It was like... it was special. All right, where do we want to start?
Well, let's start what it's about, because there are going to be some people who haven't seen it, but just a really short description. It's an animated film. It's not Pixar. Disney did it, but the animation quality is fantastic. John C. Reilly plays a video game character in, like, one of those 80s arcade games, like Pac-Man or Asteroids. This really one, it pixelated. Really models... Yeah, he models Donkey Kong, basically.
Yeah.
He plays this guy named Wreck-It Ralph who climbs to the top of a tower every day, smashes it up, and then the good guy, the Mario of the game, is Fix-It Felix Jr.
Played by Kenneth from 30 Rock, and which was perfect.
Perfect. He's this little carpenter-looking guy, and he runs around the building fixing things. And that's how, the more you can fix, the better you do with the game.
And there's little people who live in the building that all cheer for Ralph, and for Fix-It Felix. And Ralph just wants, I mean, he's lonely.
He wants to be a good guy.
A good guy. Like, he wants people to love him.
Because when the game stops playing, he doesn't get to live. It's not like they're friends. They see him as the bad guy. He goes and lives in the dump.
I feel like people weren't laughing as hard at that joke as I was. Like, every time he's like, I have to live in the garbage!
Yeah.
Like, it cracked me up so much. And nobody was like, I don't know, maybe it was the way that John C. Reilly says it. Like, he has a great tone to his voice. Like, that sort of gravelly, right. Like, whininess that he has. And him being like, and I have to live in the garbage!
It was really good.
So good to me. And he's just like, I got a lot of bricks here. I got my stump.
Yeah.
He just says nothing in the garbage.
So the game, the characters in the games can go through the power wires and
they go to like a Grand Central Station where then they can go into
any video game.
Yeah, like the power strip is the Grand Central Station
right.
of the video game world. I mean, it's just so clever, like those sorts of things, those sorts of details that they have.
Yeah, and basically what they did was they created like a whole world.
Mm-hmm.
They had created this whole
with
world.
With familiar characters.
Right. And they went around, and I was reading an article about this, like the licensing took forever to get
that?
All this jobs.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know.
And so, like, they had to go and talk to the people who own Street Fighter and get licensing for that to use, like, 7 of their characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go in and get licensing for Pac-Man.
And Bowser. And they have Bowser on
Bowser,
there.
Right. Surprisingly, not Mario. I read that they tried
get
to
it?
Get him into the story and just couldn't find a good way to, like, have him fit
oh,
in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I could see, like, Mario being too famous. Maybe he'd overshadow.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be like, oh, I wish I were watching Mario. So even Sonic the Hedgehog is only in it for, like, a really brief second.
Yeah.
But Q-Bert gets a really good scene, couple scenes. You know, like, it was interesting which ones they chose.
Yeah, the only thing about this movie is, like, it sort of acts as, like, a wish fulfillment for people our age. And because of that, when they go to Grand Central Station and you see all the potential for where the movie could go, I kind of wanted it just to live there. Like, I wanted him to just keep going from different video game to different video game and, like, having it be sort of this nostalgia fest. And it's not. It's for kids. And so they invented something new for kids.
Right. And I don't... And I kept wrestling with that because he does go to different video games,
mm-hmm.
but they're both fictional. Like, he goes to a first-person shooter, you know, sort of looks like Starship Troopers sort of game.
And how cool would it be if he went to, like...
House of the Dead or Area 51.
Yeah. Police trainer. Like, it could be... And that's what I mean, is it's, like, a kind of... That's sort of, like, we want it to fulfill our wishes. But a younger audience who's going to see that does not have that same desire. So throwing in these little eggs to our generation sort of serves its purpose.
I think it's probably a better film because it doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. If you had him go through and do, like, go through Mario's, like, Bowser's Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
it's just it's going to come across like a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're still making Mario games.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, a hard thing. And then it's just going to be distracting. I think you're just going to... It's going to be too much of that and not enough about the actual story. And so what they did is they had, yes, this first-person shooter, but really most of the movie takes place in a children's racing game called Sugar Rush. And that's where he meets this little girl named Vanellope. Is that right?
Yeah.
Voiced by Sarah Silverman. And I didn't know...
She's adorable.
You know, he had... spent 10 minutes of the movie, 5 minutes of the movie in this first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was on to the driving game, and I thought that he'd spend 5 minutes there and keep going.
Oh,
but the
right.
rest of the movie takes place in this driving game, and that was a little bit of a disappointment.
The only reason I knew that was because I had seen the trailers.
Right.
But, I don't know. It was a disappointment at first, and then I didn't mind it anymore because I really liked her.
I wish they had introduced her, maybe on a second viewing none of this would matter, but I guess I just kind of wish they had introduced her character, like, and her struggle earlier in the film. Because once he shows up and, like, meets her for the first time,
mm-hmm.
like, you just go, okay, like, oh, we're doing this now, and we'll move on. We just spent 10 minutes here, now we'll spend 10 minutes.
I see.
And then it just kind of, like... lags on, you're like, wait, are we just here for the rest of the movie?
I see, yeah,
and then,
maybe a little
oh,
bit of a
more...
structural problem then.
Yeah, and really the movie turns out to be more about Vanellope than it does Ralph, I feel.
Oh, like... I think it's about what Ralph learns through Vanellope.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So you're always going to have that, like, what did he learn sort of journey. But really, like, the story's main conflicts, it's her plot, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I see that. I
so
think, like, the psychological, like, focus of the film is Ralph, but the action focus of the film is Vanellope then.
Right.
I could see that.
Which makes sense, too, because you can't watch him just...
be depressed
in this
and
tower.
Live in the garbage.
Yeah.
and have a stump.
And so this girl, Vanellope, is a glitch in the game. Which means that she can't leave the game like Ralph can leave his. And if the game goes out of order, she'll die with the game. It's all these, like, special rules for a glitch. And so you're just
and
watching...
And they don't want her to race in the game because... Or to be one of the, like, characters in the game because then people won't like it anymore. And the whole arcade is in constant, like... danger of getting their game shut down at any time
right.
because it's out of order. And then
including Ralph's game when he leaves.
Home. Yeah.
So, oh yeah, and then you're homeless like Hubert in Grand Central Station or
yeah.
Game Central Station.
Yeah, you just have to get extra cherries from Pac-Man.
Yeah. So this, so it created like this really interesting world and stuck with its rules all the way through, and I really liked that. And then on top of that, the comedy aspects of it really worked.
And that was all because of the voice actors. I think.
Absolutely.
Like a huge part of that is the voice actors.
I had read that... A lot of the voice acting was done... Usually every actor will do, like, Shrek. All the actors did their voices separately. But for this movie, they filmed a lot of them together, which allowed for a lot of improv.
So multiple people were in the studio at the same time.
Right. Sarah Silverman was in the studio with John C. Reilly and were with Kenneth.
And you can hear that improv because you can hear their specific comedy styles, like, coming through.
Yep.
Where in, like, other movies, you don't see that. I mean, Over the Hedge, for example, has, like, a right. multitude of different comedians, and all of them none are of them saying, get to like, be funny. A written joke. Yeah, none of them get to
I
be
wonder
funny.
If that will... I wonder if Wreck-It Ralph is successful enough, if that will change.
I don't know. It's not as easy.
No, it's not as easy to get everybody in the same room. Because you do have this weird thing where it's like John C. Reilly helps sell the movie, you know, and
to
like,
our age for sure.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about this movie, Hoodwinked, that came out like a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
Terrible movie, and there's a whole bunch of issues. But like they did the voiceovers with other non-known actors and then tried desperately to sell it and then eventually got, I think, like Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep and like a bunch of huge voice actors, and the movie wasn't funny no matter who was doing it. So mm-hmm. It was interesting to see the politics between like you need a giant actor in order to sell this cartoon.
In a cartoon. Yeah, it's very strange. But I wonder...
Even like
yeah, I wonder how that
people
works.
Like Ellen DeGeneres is in.
It's parents who are bringing their kids to movies, I guess.
I guess so, and I guess you have interviews and you do your whole press junket and stuff like that. But I just feel if your movie is going to be, if your script is strong enough, or your animation is strong enough, then you can find talented actors that you don't have to pay, you know, X amount of millions of dollars to do this voice work. Mm-hmm. But in this case, having them all together, it really benefits.
Yeah, it does. I always love improv in animation. Like, that's what the style of home movies, too, right?
Right.
It's like, I don't know what about it makes me love it so much, but I guess I just like improv in general. Like, sort of a loose improv, not like a Curb Your Enthusiasm or home movies.
And this, I'm not a huge Sarah Silverman fan.
I am. I love her.
But this is, like, the funniest I remember her ever being. Like, she was, like, cracking me up through this whole movie.
She works as a kid.
Yeah, the character worked really well.
She's making, like, fart jokes, which she makes as an adult, but then finally they're in, like, the appropriate right. canister, I guess.
And also the improv was really funny, especially towards, like, the very, very end of the movie, and I don't want to give too much away, but, like, she has some lines where, like, she is just, you can tell it wasn't in
Those
the script.
Are Sarah Silverman.
That's a Sarah
and
Silverman
because
joke.
Because of that, she became one of the best, we talked about this, one of the best female characters in a Disney-associated movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, how,
I would say the best.
How special is it that it's, like, a girl with a handicap?
I know.
Like, and just, like, and how much she succeeds. I mean, I get, like, goosebumps.
And
you know
see
that
how
now.
It plays out through the movie.
And
they
found a way to do a handicap without being exploitative.
Right. Exactly. Oh, that's great. It worked out really well, and, like, never, I don't know, I feel that if they had cast someone other than Sarah Silverman, there's a chance that, like, that role would have turned out a lot more stereotypical. I don't know if that's true or not.
It does feel like that, though.
I had read that the writer, wanted Sarah Silverman, like, wrote it for her. So maybe not. But it was just a really great surprise at the end to have everything be just, it was just, like, really refreshing in a land, or, like, in a, from a movie company that focuses solely on
princess
or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a nice change. So, anything else about Wreck-It Ralph?
No, I think that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. I'm just really excited that Disney can make something this good without it being under the Pixar label.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't even remember what their last movie was. It might have been like Princess and the Frog.
I don't really
or
care.
Or something like that.
I don't know. Like, I don't
but it wasn't Wreck-It Ralph.
Anymore.
But you know, like, what I'm saying is that this was like a surprise.
Mm.
So, all right, next up we're going to list our top 5 2012 movies that we're never going to watch. Stick around. Whitney and I were thinking that We haven't even been to enough movies to really make a thorough top 10 of the year list. And
I feel like we've seen a lot this year, though. More than the year before.
I don't know if I've seen as much as I saw the year before. I feel there's a lot of stuff that's, like, especially that's out now. Yeah. That, like, I've got to go see.
Yeah, but it always takes us a couple months to catch up. I mean, but I was looking through that list of things that we've seen, and we've seen, like, even some, like, smaller independent stuff. Like, we were thinking about doing a podcast on Sound of My Voice, and we saw Take This Waltz. Like, we saw, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we've been doing pretty good this year, actually. There's just some big ones to catch up on now.
Yeah, and there are some big ones that... And small ones that we don't want to see. There are some movies that, like, when we do get around to making a top 10 of the year, these won't be on it because we're not going to see them now or maybe ever.
Are yours, like, surprising ones, do you think? Because I don't know that mine are pretty
I think if you listen and you know me, then it'll make sense. Okay. Like, what's your number five?
My number five is Here Comes the Boom.
That's crazy that you could... That's crazy.
What's that guy's name?
Kevin James.
Kevin James plays a teacher who just cares so much about the kids that he doesn't want any cuts in funding to his school. So he's going to be an MMA fighter.
A what fighter?
An MMA fighter.
Yeah, like UFC, like cage fighting.
This has got two things I really hate. One, inspirational teachers. Two, cage fighting. Like, and put those together.
Three, Kevin James.
And three, Kevin James, yeah. But he's sort of, like, by default, because he makes really bad choices. There's nothing about, like, his acting style that really offends me.
Uh-huh.
It's just the movies he decides to be in that are so horrible. But anyway, yeah, like, someone caring that much about their students is so stupid, first of all, coming from a teacher's point of view. An underpaid teacher, too, you know? Like, I get it. You don't care about your students, you care about your paycheck. And two, like, the whole, like, plot is shown in the trailer, like, about how inspirational the cage fighting is going to be to the students. Like, if I quit now, what's that going to say to the kids? And it's like, it's going to say that violence isn't an answer to all your problems? Like, I don't know what...
I don't know. For me, it's not... There's no, like, message about, like, you should fight for your problems or fight your way out of problems, like,
that's hippie mom, I don't know, like... That's absolutely the message. It's, like, this great, like, physical sport where you just get the shit beaten out of you is, like, the best thing you can do for the kids.
My biggest problem with it is...
That he can become an MMA fighter in a week.
Yeah, I'm not focusing on, like, what messages there are. He would have so many
concussions after, like, 30 seconds.
And he has lost some weight since his King of Queens days.
A little bit, still.
But, like, it's sort of just, like, hugely disrespectful to the athletes who do MMA. Who have to be in, like, ridiculously good shape.
Yeah.
Who train with, like, gas mask on. And, like,
because those guys in the MMA... could never be teachers.
That's not true.
I don't know. We watched that. What's that show that Ultimate Fighter, and they all are like numbskulls. Like, I haven't heard any of them except for that one coach with the cauliflower ear.
Forrest Griffin, yeah.
Ever say anything intelligent.
And that's
ever.
Who I was thinking when I said you were wrong.
That guy's an anomaly. He seems really nice and good natured and smart, but the rest of them, never.
Yeah, so
you're dumb.
But you're never gonna see that movie.
No, I'm never gonna see Here Comes the Boom, Scott.
There's no other movies.
Four other movies that I won't see. Yes, actually.
My number five is Big Miracle.
What's that? Wait, is that the one with the whales?
Yeah,
what's wrong with you? That looks so nice.
That looks awful.
You're a monster.
Drew Barrymore and John Krasinski from the Office, Office, try to save some whales.
You know that they, spoiler alert, they don't.
Spoiler alert, it's not like a spoiler alert if I'm never going to see it.
Oh my gosh, this so looks so good and heartwarming. And I remember the music they played in the preview was really effective.
And it's like, I was reading the description of it, and it's like, all of these forces who are normally, like, at each other's necks and, like, fighting.
They're all gonna get together
to try to save these whales.
So funny. When it comes to teaching, I'm like, there is no inspiration in teaching. And when it comes to saving whales, I'm like, now that's a calling.
Yeah. So that's my number five for obvious reasons.
My number four is Playing for Keeps. That is the Gerard Butler Pork Soccer Moms movies.
Porking soccer moms, like...
Multiple soccer moms. This has had, like, the worst, like, poster campaign ever. I think that's mainly the thing. And also people trying to sell me Gerard Butler as, like, a sex symbol or as even a slightly good-looking man is really trying to bug me. He looks like a Neanderthal.
This movie also stars Jessica Biel,
yes.
Catherine Zeta-Jones,
Uma Thurman, right?
Judy Greer, Uma Thurman.
All of them. He's porking all of them.
Gerard
Butler, really.
That's enough to get
me. Did you say Jessica Alba?
No, Jessica Biel.
Okay, anyway, still, Jessica Biel is not going for Gerard Butler.
Just going for Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. It's not like, I mean, Dennis Quaid is in the movie too, and it's not like he's the heartthrob. I mean, Gerard Butler,
Dennis
like
Quaid plays, like the best friend who's like, don't pork all these moms.
You know, pork is the best verb. I hope he plays the same, like child porn like coach from the from Donnie Darko. Isn't that him?
Isn't that Dennis Quaid? That's Patrick Swayze.
Oh, it was Patrick Swayze. May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
My bad.
All right, what's your number four?
My number four is the Three Stooges movie.
Oh, that almost made my list.
It's just, I mean, there are probably some other movies that I would...
That's the thing, is I decided, okay, Farrelly Brothers, there's worse. That's how I felt.
I had a long list, and I just couldn't knock the Three Stooges off. I'm just not going to see it. It just seems absolutely miserable. And the cast is awful. And what's funny is that movie originally had Benicio del Toro, Jim Carrey, and Sean Penn cast as
which
the Stooges.
Which would have been really interesting,
Yeah. Now you have Will Sasso.
Who's the worst, right?
Yeah.
Will Sasso's like the worst Saturday Night Live... like, actor in, like, 20 years.
You're thinking of the wrong guy.
Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Horatio Sanz.
No.
Well, Sasso wasn't on Saturday Night Live.
Okay, well...
He was on Mad TV.
No, okay, who am I thinking of?
Doesn't matter.
Who's the other guy?
Then you have, the guy from, he's on Up All Night and Will and Grace.
That's who I'm thinking of. He was never on... He was never on
And then
Saturday
you have
Night
a third
Live.
Guy who's never done anything. And none of them, like, besides Will Sasso, who kind of looks like he could play Curly, like, none of them fit their roles, like, whatsoever.
I thought that middle guy, what's his name, with the bowl cut? Which one is Stooges?
Mo.
I thought Mo was played by that guy from Saturday Night Live, who I'll talk about later because I don't know his name, but
well,
he's the worst.
Well, he wasn't.
He's the worst, though, right?
I don't know who you're talking about. I have no idea who you're talking about.
I don't know either. I don't know his name.
Man.
And I don't know any of his characters.
Just let
he was,
it go.
He's either still on or he was on until like 2 years ago.
Fantastic. That really narrows it down. He's either on it now or used to be on it. What's your number four? Maybe Mad TV, maybe Saturday Night Live, might be In Living Color.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll figure this out while you're talking.
Just don't. Just let it go.
Number three is Think Like a Man.
No! That movie was surprisingly not so bad.
That movie sounds like the biggest, like, offense bomb ever.
It just
sounds like, this is what it means to be black. This is what it means to be a man. This is what it means to be a woman.
Yeah,
everybody better pay attention to all of these rules because this is exactly what it means. No deviations. We know because Steve Harvey told us so. And we're taking Steve Harvey seriously.
Yeah, and you know what? I learned a lot from that movie, actually. So.
What'd you learn?
What black guys are like.
Okay, what's that guy's name?
Will Forte?
Will Forte! I thought he was in the Three Stooges.
You like him!
No, I don't.
He was on 30 Rock for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't like him on 30 Rock.
Huh.
I don't like him. I actually really don't like him.
Wow.
So I thought Mo was Will Forte.
Okay, so now what, are you gonna go see that movie?
No.
You're gonna go see the Three Stooges?
No, still not, but still, I don't like Will Forte. Let's get that on the table. Okay, so Think Like a Man, your rebuttal?
I don't have one. When I saw it, it was I was surprised by how much I liked it.
I was not surprised by how much you liked it.
Then your best friend Heather saw it and turned it off after about a half hour,
yeah,
citing that I was incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
So I am not gonna do that twice. I haven't seen it since the first time I saw it.
You keep that one to yourself.
I enjoy Tyler Perry movies.
That wasn't a Tyler Perry movie, was it?
No, but it might as well have been.
So why? Because that's a big cast of black people.
No, just saying because like it got similar reviews. People are saying it's terrible.
Made a ton of money.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like Kevin Hart. He's one of my favorite comedians.
And I could see him being really funny in it, but like the rest of like the stereotypes are not going to make up for it for me.
You're not going to like that movie.
No, I'm not. I just don't. I mean, even the title itself, like I guess the extended title of the book, like Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, like even that in itself is extremely offensive.
You're already infuriated.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You want to save the whales, you hate UFC, you don't know who popular comedians are.
I am a stereotype.
Yeah.
What?
Why don't you lecture us about recycling?
Comedians. I just don't like that guy. I didn't know his name because I don't like him.
Okay.
What's his name again?
Will Forte.
Okay.
My number three is Anna Karenina.
I have like a sort of secret desire to see it.
Someone asked me today, like, Scott, have you seen Anna Karenina? And I said, I don't even know if it's out, but once it comes out, I won't be seeing it. I shan't be seeing it.
Did they ask you like that? Have you seen Anna Karenina?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that's the only way to say it. I hate Jude Law.
Yeah, I don't care. Either.
I don't care if that makes me like the most unpopular person.
No, there's no reason to
hide Jude Law. Hire Jude Law. If you can get Clive Owen. That's how I feel.
I think Ewan McGregor.
I don't care about that guy either. And I also hate Keira Knightley.
Well, you are dumb.
Who's also in this movie.
Yeah, she's...
So, she sucks. So
annoying.
I watched that movie, A Dangerous Method. That movie made me want to kill myself. That movie was like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It was pretty bad.
And it was almost all her fault.
It was almost all her underbite's fault.
Nah, I don't care about her underbite. That's only... You only care about her dental work. It shouldn't be...
Her lack of dental work.
It shouldn't be about what an actress looks like. It's about what talent she brings to the table.
Yeah, I think she's pretty talented, actually.
No, she's awful.
I actually think she's really talented. I just don't like the movies she picks. Sort of like Kevin James, I guess.
Remember
but
when,
on, like, sort of a different scale. Like, I don't like all these period pieces that she's always in.
Do you remember that month or so where I would, like, to turn on, what was it, King of Queens without you really, like, realizing it? And then I'd call you out every time you laughed?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So, Anna Karenina, I hate it. You know, and I'm excited for Les Mis, excited for Great Gatsby, so it's not just a period piece thing.
It's
this
the
one
way
just
that it's,
looks awful.
I agree.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, what's your number two?
My number two is What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy one, right? It looks like the most horrible cliches about, like, childbirth and relationships and blah, 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 all that. Guess what else? There is a cameo from the Black Eyed Peas, Taboo.
Well, now I have to see it.
Any movie with Taboo.
You're going to miss Taboo's
kind of
film debut?
It's a movie I don't want to see.
Man, you know it's bad.
He's the one that's vaguely Asian.
Yeah.
Yeah. That like Indian
that's the running joke.
Guy, yeah.
Not just in our house. Like other people make that joke too.
Right.
I remember when Will I Am was in Date Night. That shows you. Date Night gets Will I Am. This movie gets Taboo.
It's Taboo. That's how much lower it is.
Yeah.
It really goes Will I Am, Fergie, Apple the App. Taboo on the very bottom, and what to expect.
You would put Taboo below Apple the App?
Totally. Did you know Apple the App was a sweet potato farmer in the Philippines, and that he like, I don't know, was he like adopted?
I will tell you.
It was like
story.
A crazy story. Like his sponsor like brought him out to Disneyland.
Yeah, so he had like he had one of those like 64-cent a day sponsors while he was living in the Philippines, and then he brought him out to see America. And took him to Disneyland, and he loved Disneyland, and the guy was like, you know what, I'll just adopt you. You want to live in America forever? Sure. Next thing he knows, Black Eyed Pea. Millionaire. Billionaire.
Apple the app. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now that's a movie I'd watch.
He's way above Taboo. What's Taboo's story? No one knows it. Exactly.
I don't even know if he speaks.
Yeah, exactly. He just looks
like I'm not even sure what he does in the band.
He looks like a total freak. He just stands there looking like a freak.
I will tell you, though, that he does have an autobiography out.
We should probably read that before.
Well, I almost bought it for you for Christmas last year. I saw it at, like, a Borders going out of business. Well, that was the thing. It was still really expensive. Yeah, even with, like, the 30%, please, we're going out of business, please buy the book. Even 30% off, it was way too much for the Taboo.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. My number two is Rise of the Guardians.
What's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is that that cartoon? That's right.
Santa and the Easter Bunny, and that's about all I know about it.
Did you put that on there because we had to watch the preview, like it was on a commercial when you were making the list?
No.
Because I noticed that like, as you were making your list, that movie was on.
Oh, that would have made my list. There's only one movie that I would never watch before this.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There's only one movie I'd rather not watch more than this movie. This movie looks absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, it looks miserable. Really, really bad.
I barely even know the plot. I know that Santa's in it. I know that I think the Easter Bunny's in it. I think it's like that Jack leads me Frost, to think that, like.
Maybe.
Yeah, so maybe not the Easter Bunny. Maybe it's just Christmas.
No, it's the Easter Bunny.
I don't know. I can't even get through the trailer. Yeah. I'll never see this movie.
But you know
movie.
What's crazy is, like, kids, there are going to be some kids who, like, latch onto that movie and they're going to have to watch it because they see it at some friend's house and they're going to plead for it and they're going to get the DVD and their parents are going to have to watch that 6-7 times a day.
That's why we're
like,
not
having
kids.
Like, the brave little toaster and my mom.
Right. Or the Dark Crystal.
She was like, yeah, the Dark Crystal.
That your dad ended up taping over.
Yeah,
because...
taping over Bob Dole coming to American Samoa. Or maybe Dan Quayle. Dan Quayle coming to American Samoa and telling me, oh, I'm so sorry. I taped it.
It was an accident. Just kidding, it wasn't. Stop watching those movies. What's your number one?
My number one is The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
Really?
We'll never, ever, ever watch that stupid movie.
For those who don't know what The Odd Life of Timothy Green is, it stars Jennifer Garner, some guy, and a stupid little kid who comes up from the ground like a plant.
And now he can't fit in with school. I think it's really important that a couple things you're missing.
Okay.
Cindy and Jim Green.
Their last name is Green?
That's their name, yes. Cindy and Jim Green.
And their kid ends up being a plant?
Yes. Cindy works at a local museum, and Jim works at the town's historic pencil factory. In danger of the layoffs. They make pencils, and they're, like, supposed to come up with, like, some prototype for a new pencil to save everyone from a layoff. And they can't have kids, and so they decide, for God knows what reason, to write down a list of what their perfect child would be and put it in a box, and then they bury it. Well, and the next day, Timothy pops out of the ground, and they've got this 10-year-old boy who's real special. He's special. He makes everyone around him feel really special, and he befriends the lonely and the bullied and etc. And then, but slowly his leaves are falling off, and it turns out that each time he accomplishes a task that his parents wanted him to have, he loses a leaf, and pretty soon he's gonna die. And they didn't think of anything they wanted their child to be as an adult, and so the movie isn't so long.
Yeah, spoiler alert, he does everything and then he dies.
That's what I just said.
And then the kids cry.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a great YouTube video two fat kids crying in their parents' backseat.
The plot reminds me of Pay It Forward. Like, this is just a special little boy who touches everyone he meets.
Yeah, that kind of is.
Oh, it sounds
sort
awful.
Of like Simon Birch.
It sounds like sort just of bait for sad sap parents.
I know. And then there were all these parents that we know on Facebook who were like, it's just like my kid. And we're like, no, he's not. Your kid isn't a plant. Your kid is actually...
Don't point that out. They listen to this.
I don't even know who we're talking about. Honestly, I don't know who I was referencing.
Samantha said that.
Oh, Samantha does listen.
And she is feisty.
I like her a lot.
She's going to be so mad at you.
Well, I didn't know who I was talking about. The only reason I knew even to bring it up was because I heard you bitching about it, so...
I'm sorry, Samantha, but The Odd Life of Timothy Green looks
your kids
like the
seem
worst.
Way better than that.
Yeah, they do. They seem way more interesting than Timothy with the leaves on his legs.
And you seem like a better mom than Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, maybe because Jennifer Garner can't have kids. So, just by default, she's a better mom.
You're a better mother. You did that better. My number one is The Hobbit.
Really? You're never going to see The Hobbit?
Never. I'm never going to see the third Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not.
I'm going to see The Hobbit.
Have fun. You could not drag me. I was thinking about, last night I asked my friends, how much would I have to pay you, including your ticket price, to go to an Insane Clown Posse concert?
Yeah, and they were saying, we all sort of agreed $100.
About $100. If I gave you a $100 bill, you would go see
the Insane Clown Posse. Because that makes the night worth it, like a few hours in the night.
Yeah, I just can't. Honestly,
what about The Hobbit? How much would we have
The
to
Hobbit?
Pay?
It would honestly, you'd have to hand me about like $200.
You wouldn't do it for $100. It's at most 3 hours.
Though. Right. Absolutely. If you were to be like, I have a $100 bill. This is yours to do whatever you want with it. Come see The Hobbit for 3 hours. I would not do it. And you can test me. Anyone can test me.
What if someone said you don't have to go to work today if you just go see The Hobbit? That's so funny, because that's not worth $200, but you still...
But to get out of work to go do it, yeah. Because then you get 5 hours.
Yeah.
It'd be close. I would probably do it for a day off of work.
Okay.
Which is, yeah.
I'd do it for an ice cream sundae.
Great. But you want to see it, you would do it for nothing.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to see
really
it.
I really want ice cream sundae.
Everybody who listens knows my history with these movies. I hate them. I think they're boring. I think they're torturous.
The Hobbit, though,
I would
book
rather
is not...
see the Three Stooges movie.
Oh, wait. Aren't they dividing The Hobbit into, like, multiple...
Three movies.
That's crazy.
Three movies.
Because the reason The Hobbit, the book, I liked it, and I couldn't get through Lord of the Rings when I was a kid, was, well,
and
not
short.
Only that, but it was action-packed. It wasn't just walking around. The Hobbit, like, had events, like, that happened,
now,
and it was
could
exciting.
You make could you make three-hour movies out of it? Right. You know what I liked?
What?
None of us put down part two of the Twilight,
No, there's a chance I'd see that.
Yeah, there's a chance
I'd
see that too.
I'm curious. I, like, something that bad, I'm curious about.
That's how I almost felt about, Three Stooges. I'm like, it's such a train wreck. But really, it's
comedy's
just like...
Comedy's rough for me, though, if it's that bad. That's why I, like, Think Like a Man makes my list. And
I almost put The Dictator because of what you had said about it.
I hated that.
But really,
but
my...
some people like it.
My runner-up, the three that I knocked off, you know, they were, like, numbers 6, 7, and 8, were Lincoln, Life of Pi, and Cloud Atlas. This Oscar season is rough. Awful.
Rough.
They're rough. I don't care about any of those movies.
Yeah,
Life of Pi.
They've got Argo, and they've got The Master, and they've got the new, Catherine Bigelow movie.
There's a good chance I'll never see The Master. And it's not because I hate The Master, but it's because everybody, including you, said how it falls apart and isn't really worth watching.
No, I didn't say that.
You said it completely falls apart.
I didn't say
and the second
that.
Half of the movie. Alright, explain
no, I
The
think
Master.
No, I think Kyle said that.
Well, you told me for
I said
on
that
one.
It was... No, I said it was... I mean, this is hard because I don't remember. It was a while ago. But I think I said that it was, like, seemed over my head. And, like, too many complicated ideas at once. And that I couldn't quite figure it out. And that it was really nerve-wracking and anxiety-producing. And that I thought that Joaquin Phoenix kind of chewed the scenery a little bit.
Okay.
But I didn't think it followed apart at the end at all. I thought it was actually fairly consistent with the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
Part of me still wants to see it, but I just am like, when am I ever going to see it? I probably will never see it.
Yeah,
there's probably a
not?
Better chance that I'll see the Three Stooges, like, on a plane or something, than I will, like,
well,
getting
at least
a disc
it's, like,
of The Master.
Easy watching.
Yeah, it'll be, like, 4 a.m, and I just watched, like, the first 30 minutes of Pootie Tang the other night, because why not? So,
I don't know that you should be bragging about this.
I wasn't
things.
Bragging. It was
oh,
awful.
Okay.
Louis C. Did you know Louis C.K. directed
yes,
it?
Yes, I did.
And that did
like
not make a difference.
People bring that. I feel like a lot of different people have told me that. Because
it's shocking.
I guess.
He's like the biggest comedian now. Why would... I didn't even know he directed movies, let alone like this weird comedy that even at like 13 I didn't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I tried to see it now is because Louis C.K. directed it. And then, like, half hour in, I was like, well, he just made a terrible movie.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I think of Louis C.K. now. Well, that was episode 97 of Frankly, My Dear. Thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with our extended absence. And do you have anything else to say?
No. We both wear headphones at our job. We both wear headphones at our job. We both wear headphones at our job.